Studio 360.
It was announced that after 34 years in print, the comic strip Kathy would end its run. Here now to address the sadness is the star of that comic and the apple of my eye, Kathy.
During her long run in the daily comic pages, the character Kathy was lampooned as an anxious, shopping-obsessed chocoholic. Here's Andy Samberg as Kathy on Saturday Night Live.
Things are looking up, though. I'm on the lettuce diet.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah! Let us eat what we want!
Starting in the 1970s, Kathy became a fixture in newspapers for decades. And for all its detractors, it really resonated with readers, particularly women, particularly back then, who found the character refreshingly relatable and real, because Kathy was real.
I actually begged them in the beginning to not name it Kathy, name it anything but Kathy. I didn't want people to think it was quite as realistic as it was.
Kathy Geiswite is the cartoonist behind Kathy.
And they said people will relate to your strip more if they see that the character has the same name as you. It'll be like they're spying on your life. That was a big mistake. When I was graduating from college and overweight and frustrated and miserable and tired of writing in my journal, I kind of summed up the disasters of my day in a little picture form, not meaning to create a comic strip. Ever.
3 bagels, 2 bowls of Fudge Ripple ice cream, 17 Oreos, and a Twinkie. So what? He'll never call me again anyway.
These were private, humiliating moments that I sent home with letters to my parents to let them know that I was coping. It was 1976. The world was changing dramatically for women. There were just beginning then to be so many wonderful, powerful role models for women.
Women's rights is essential today
for this survival. Rights to have a job, to have respect, not be viewed as a piece of meat. I am invincible,
invincible, I am woman. A lot of women were kind of stuck, like I was, between two worlds, where we longed to be more independent, but we were still crumpled over things that shouldn't make us crumple. And a lot of the angst that I was putting down on paper was about me wrestling with the old way of being a woman versus the new way of being a woman. My mom felt that these very embarrassing personal moments should be shared by millions of women. She went to the library and researched comic strip syndicates. I finally, just to make mom stop telling me that it could be a comic strip, I sent some just scribbles to the name she had looked up at the library. And they sent me back a contract to do Kathy for pretty much the rest of my life. I did not know how to draw. I so didn't think of it as a career that I didn't tell anybody that I had the contract. I was working in an advertising agency at the time. And then the first day the strip came out, I remember hiding in the ladies' room of the office praying that nobody would read the newspaper that day, which of course they did. And, well, they tortured me, first of all, because I couldn't draw then, and that my comic strip looked like nothing else in the newspaper. And it also sounded like nothing else because there was not a voice of any realistic woman on the comic pages in those days, not talking about the things I was. You know, should a woman be allowed to have a job? If a woman got a job, you know, should she be allowed to wear pants to the office? Things that don't exactly come up now as controversial subjects, but they were then.
It's no use, Andrea. I'm going to be fat for the rest of my life.
Kathy, you do not have to be fat. Just use a little willpower. You can change. Just remember, you are the one in control.
I know. That's why I'm going to be fat for the rest of my life.
I got an immediate, wonderful reaction from women, I'll say. Not so much men, but from women who felt just enormous relief that somebody was kind of living out what they were going through, whether it was with the moms or the boyfriends or the midnight fights with frozen chocolate in the freezer, vulnerabilities that were difficult for women to express or that they were kind of shamed for expressing. I could say in the paper, Women could tuck my strips away in their diaries or in their drawer or stick it on their, you know, bulletin board and go, oh, somebody else feels just like I do. That helps me. Even though at least half the people who were reading the newspapers were women, almost all the newspaper editors were men, all the salespeople were men. It was a tough sell to sell a strip that was so different and that was so female-focused, definitely. I remember asking Charles Schulz when I could be confident that all the newspapers wouldn't just cancel the next week, and he said 10 years of doing it every day. And it turned out that was just about right, that it was about 10 years in where I felt some some job security.
Why can't women wear baggy trunks and t-shirts to swim in like men do?
Don't be ridiculous.
Why not? It's a unisex world. Unisex jeans, unisex sweatsuits, even unisex cologne. Why not unisex swimwear? Why not let women be as comfortable at the pool as men for once in life?
It just isn't done.
Forget dress down Friday. What we need is dress down Saturday afternoon.
It helped me have a good sense of humor when I was doing the comic strip because I always had somewhere to put the aggravation. You know, I could march out of the swimwear department dressing room weeping like all the other women, but knowing that I had 2 weeks of material from the frustration that I had just experienced in the dressing room. It's very, you know, it's ultimately very cathartic. It's me getting to express my frustration at, you know, the automatic faucets in the ladies' room that work for everybody else but don't work when I stick my hand under them. What does that mean about my, you know, if the faucet is not even recognizing me as a life force? That's what I love to write about, the little moments that add up on a woman's mind subconsciously so that at the end of the day, it can leave a woman feeling insecure, all alone. I'm not writing about those moments out of a grand obligation to help others. I'm writing about those moments because they're what happened to me.
I'm sitting home with my cat ordering the same thing almost every night. The only thing that can make it sadder is if I had a Kathy comic taped to my refrigerator door.
Never say Kathy comic to me again.
There's always been a certain percentage of people who hated my work, who did not like that it reinforced the negative stereotype of women as being, you know, obsessed with dieting, fashion, romance, angst. Women did not like that Kathy was vulnerable. They felt they were doubly incensed that finally a woman had a voice on a comic page, a woman had a public voice, and that I wasn't using it to express much more strong, triumphant, you know, more feminist ideals. And yet, I have always believed that, you know, you know, just because you cave into a donut does not mean you're not a feminist. It just means you caved into a donut. I was clear that my job in doing this strip is to offer compassion and support for those moments when we're not doing great, when we're not feeling empowered, and where the empowering moments rise up out of the rubble. But to be fully self-expressed about the rubble can be more inspiring, I think, than to not admit that the rubble exists. You know, that in a world of incredible, wonderful role models, my job is more to be there for somebody who feels all alone and like a failure, you know, at 9 p.m., not like the woman who has it all together.
I'm getting wrinkles where mom has wrinkles, fat where mom has fat, quirks like mom's little quirks. The things mom says that drive me crazy are starting to pop out of my own mouth. Ack! I'm turning into my mother, Andrea!
Kathy, your mom has some great qualities.
I know, but I only seem to have inherited the annoying ones.
I think that ultimately humor saves you from feeling horrible about something. People laugh when when things get bad, so I have always found that as a writer, the worse I feel, the better the joke will be probably. So I need to usually be grateful for the pain.
Kathy Geiswhite wrote and drew Kathy from 1976 until 2010. Her new book of essays, 50 Things That Aren't My Fault, is out now. Kim Rosen and Marissa Martinelli voiced the Kathy comic strips for us, and our story was produced by Evan Chung and scored by Tommy Bazarian.